نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، first of all, I'd like to congratulate all of you believers and the believers throughout the world for the birth of the mercy on mankind, Prophet Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And also the Imam who has opened the knowledge and who has brought us the knowledge of the Prophet in Islam to all of us, through whom we are known as Fiqh Jafari, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. And I pray that Allah keeps us in the shade of these two great beings. Just a little few things I want to say about the Prophet himself. Looking at the life of this person who walked on earth and what he had accomplished in his role as the last messenger of God, we look at it and we see that in a matter of 2 decades, 23 years to be exact, since the time he came down from the cave of Hira until he breathed his last in Medina, when we look at the period that he lived, one person had so much effect on a society, that a society and a nation that was lawless, he made them law-abiding in 20 years. A nation that was immoral, he made them live according to morals in a matter of 23 years. A person, his whole life, tries to just make himself better, but a person who makes a whole nation change like that, the person that we need to really look at and see what kind of people he came to and what did he leave. What was it that he had done that had so much effect on people? What was it that he had done? When we look at it, we see that in the Battle of Uhud, these people who used to fight for menial things, you know, for a camel, two tribes will go to war with each other and kill so many people. For menial things, they'll go to war. And now when you look at it and see how he had changed the hearts of people, that those who would not, who had no idea of what a self-sacrificing nature was. When you look in the Battle of Uhud, we see that a person by the name of Ubay ibn Ka'b comes to the head of Sa'd ibn Rabi, who was dying in the battlefield. He was on his last breaths. And he tells him, what is your last wish before you die? What is it? Your last will, your last wish. What do you want? And the only thing that he says, you know, I don't want anything for myself. The only wish I have is that as long as you're alive, do not let anything happen to the messenger. How did he make the people love him so much that they're ready to sacrifice everything they have for him? A mother of martyrs, a sister of martyrs, one lady who had lost her husband, her children, everything in the Battle of Uhud, came to her and said, you know, you lost everything. You lost your husband, you lost your children, you lost everything. He said, I am just happy that the Messenger of Allah is alive. Where is this love coming from? What did the prophet do to these people that changed them in such a way? Musab ibn Umar, he belonged to a family that's well off, very rich family, and left everything, all the wealth and everything. You know, he had a lot of inheritance coming, but they said, if you become a Muslim, you will have no inheritance from us. He says, I don't need anything. I just want to be with the Prophet. Leaves everything for this Prophet. Leaves everything for Muhammad. This is what was done. You see, my friend, understand this. What was the effect on the people that had made them from a war-loving people to come to understand what is law and become law-abiding and loving and compassionate and self-sacrificing? There was one person by the name of Abdul Uzza. Now, when he became Muslim, the Prophet, he named him Abdullah. And this person, when you look at him, he was a poor person, very poor. In fact, you know, he used to just clothe himself with two pieces of cloth. That's all he could find. He came from a wealthy family. But this is the life he wanted. He had to leave because he left all that inheritance and all that wealth and came there. And when we see that the messenger saw him just wearing two pieces of cloth, he named him Zuljalladain, right? Meaning the one who wears two pieces of cloth. And this person, when he died on the way back from the Battle of Tabuk, the Prophet put his hands on his face at the time of his death, and he prayed and he said that, Allah, I am pleased with him, so be pleased with him also. These are people he had changed, that the whole society that changed, and now we're willing to give everything up for the ideology of God and for his messenger. What did he do? Just I want to mention some of the distinctions, the distinguishing points about the Prophet's mission. What was different in his mission? Because we haven't seen this sort of change in the history of mankind. Look throughout the history of mankind, no leader, no prophet, no messenger had the effect that Prophet Muhammad had. No one had that effect. Some distinguishing points about what was his mission. And you see that this winning of hearts was not done by wealth. It wasn't done because of money. You know, you cannot win hearts with money and wealth. You can get people together with money. You know, you have a big feast and you'll see a lot of people will come. Right? But you cannot gather hearts with money. Allah says that in the Quran. He says, "Law anfaqta ma fil ardi jami'an." He says, if you spend the wealth of this whole world, if you were given that wealth and you had spent it on the people, you cannot gather the hearts of people. You cannot win the hearts of people. It's not done through money. What was it done through? Five distinct, you know, I don't know if I'll have time for five things, but I'll go through as many as I can today. What was so distinguished about his movement that had such an effect on a society that was so bad that it became an example of history for being bad and changing that society? The first thing, my friends, Allah speaks of it in the Quran. He says, "Qul hadhihi sabili ad'u ila Allah ala basiratin." He says, this is my way. I call towards God ala basiratin, with basirat. The first thing that he had was basirat. Basirat is that the message of Islam is an intelligent message. It is with evidence, with proof. The Prophet did not invite the people by showing them things that they could not understand, and they are overwhelmed by it. No, the message of Islam was a logical message. It was a natural message. It was compelling because it was sensible. It was common sense. It was something that was identifiable by everyone who's a human being, because no matter what, where you are from, there's one thing that you will have with you, and that is your reasoning. Islam appealed to reasoning. He always appealed to reasoning. That's why when he called on to those who were idol worshippers, he said, "Hatu burhanakum," bring your proofs, bring your evidence, let's talk. When he spoke to the Christians, he says, "Come together, let us reach an understanding. Let's have an understanding of what is right and wrong. Have an understanding like that." This is why you see, all the things that the Prophet had done, he wanted to make sure that the people who are coming to Islam, they come through evidence and making sure that they are correct in choosing what they are choosing. In fact, when his son Ibrahim had died, on the same day of his death, there was a solar eclipse. There was a solar eclipse. Some people had said, "Oh, you see, this happened because his son had died. That's why the sun had an eclipse." And so they were saying, "Oh, let's become Muslims because of that." Because they didn't know what was an eclipse then. And so, you know, they were fearful of that. They said, "Oh, you know what? Let's go and become Muslim because of this eclipse that happened. It happened because his son had died, and the, you know, sun and the gods are upset." And they came to become Muslim. The Prophet said, "No, my son's death has nothing to do with the eclipse. Eclipse has nothing to do with my..." I mean, obviously, anyone who wants to have a movement, you know, wants to use any tactic that he could to bring people in. But this wasn't the way of Islam, and is never the way of Islam. Do not use tactics to bring people in. No, the eclipse is something else. My son's death is something else. It has nothing to do with that. You want to become Muslim? Understand first why this is right. Then you become Muslim. Salawat alaikum. This is the way of Islam. The first distinction of this movement was that it was based on evidence. It was based on intelligence and reasoning. He appealed to the reasoning of people and wanted them to understand why this is right. So when they understand it and become Muslim, they become so strong because they have accepted it through proofs and understanding. That's why you see that when you appeal to people through reasoning, they become strong. Why? Because reasoning is that which makes them understand something. They know something, and they know it because they have proofs about it. Then they become strong. That's where the strength comes from. This was the first distinction of the Prophet and Islam as it spread amongst the people. The second distinction that the Prophet had was he had a passion for the purpose that he was here for. He had passion. You see, there's one person, when you hire an employee, you will see there are two types of employees. There's one employee who works by the clock, and he looks at the clock even when he's at his job. See that? For example, he starts off at time and he ends at time, and even before that, he's in the whole day long, he's looking at the clock. What time is it? Is it time for me to go? Right? He lives by the clock. Because to him, it's not important, you know, after that, you know, the only thing that I need to work here 8 hours and get out of here, that's it. Then you see another employee that when you hire him, you see he's not looking at the clock. He's dedicated. He says, "No, no matter what, I want to get this job done the right way. Do it in a way that it is fulfilled, that I have done my right to it." Be dedicated. Have that passion for the work that you're doing. When the Prophet had been given this prophetic mission, you see that he had passion for that work. He had passion to such an extent that he used to live day and night thinking about the message that has to be given for the people. He had love for the people. He had that love for his job. What was his job? To guide the people towards God. And he had love for the people. That's why he used to give them and be with them, and his heart used to go out for them. This was the prophet. In fact, to such an extent that even God, even Allah, had to stop him sometimes and says, Taha, wama anzalna alayka al-Quran litashqa. Muhammad, we did not reveal this Quran so it will be a burden on you and you're putting yourself through hardships. This is so much that the prophet used to have that passion for that work. And people saw it. It was to such an extent that they said that when he used to be beaten up by different people, when he used to preach, and he was beaten up so many times. He was stoned so many times. He was injured so many times that it says that, you know, he used to go down to tie his laces in his slippers, and they used to beat him up, and people who were close to him would hear him make this prayer to God, to this prayer to Allah. He says, Allahumma ahdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. He says, oh Allah, guide my people because they do not know. They do not know. They don't understand. Guide them. Even with all the atrocities he went through, you see, this is the Prophet's way. This is the Prophet. This is Prophet Muhammad. Salawat ala Muhammad. The third distinction of the Prophet's mission was that the Prophet was decisive. He was decisive, meaning that when he made a decision, it was a decision. There was no backing off. There was no wrong in it, no error in it. There was that decision. You see, let me give you an example. You know, once he entered the mosque, the masjid, when he entered the masjid, he saw someone who tied himself to the pillar of the masjid in order to stand up to pray. You know, because, you know, he thought that I need to stand up. He couldn't stand up. He was handicapped. So he tied himself up. He tied himself up in order to pray. So the Prophet looked at that. He says, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. If you cannot stand up, pray sitting down. Islam did not come to make it hard on the people. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. You see, Islam did not come, he said, to make it hard on the people. It didn't come here so it can be this hardship, this burden on you. Islam didn't come for that. What did Islam come for? Well, to make it easy on you. So, you see, in the idea of doing your practice of Islam, Islam takes it very easy. It wants you to understand, and for example, any hardship you have, it doesn't want you to go through hardship in practicing your deen, in practicing your religion. But when it comes to the religion itself, now that's a whole different story. You see, in the practice of your religion, Islam takes it very easy. You can't pray standing up, pray sitting down. You can't pray sitting down, pray lying down. If you can't pray lying down, just move your eyes. If you can't just move your eyes, you know, then you'll be dead. Issue is that it makes it so easy to practice the deen. But when it comes to the religion itself, there was no compromise. See, in the practice, it makes it easy for you. But for example, if an individual comes and says, okay, let's get rid of prayer altogether out of Islam. Now, when it came to that, you see, the Prophet made no compromises. When it came to the reality of religion itself, there was no compromise. In practice, yes, you want to pray. He will make it easy for you. Islam made it easy for you. But when it came to the religion itself, there was no compromise. That's why you see that a lot of people came to the Prophet with many sort of deals. Right? They said, you know, we will become Muslim if you don't allow us to pray for 3 years. And, you know, we'll do this, we'll do that. If you don't do these, Prophet said, no. That's not going to happen. Right? You want to become a Muslim, you have to pray. But in your prayer will make it easy. Islam has made it easy. God has made it easy for you to pray. But when it comes to the religion itself, there is no compromise. And that's why you see the Prophet was never in that. Every time he made a decision, it was no compromise when it came to deen. This was one of the distinction of the message. There was no deals to be made with him. You can't make a deal with him. There was no compromise when it came to that. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You know, the fourth thing is moral character. Allah Himself says in the Quran, "Innaka la'ala qulukin adhim." You are on the best, the height of the character that a human can reach. You are at the pinnacle of what a human being can be in your character, in your morals. There is no greatness above where you are. This was his moral character. He's the way it is. Maulana Rumi explains what is this, khuluk, right? Through the example of Luqman the wise. He explains this history. He says that, you know, Luqman was a slave. Luqman the Hakim, he was a slave. And obviously a slave who was like a moon in the house that he was in, through his amazing character that he had. So the owners, the masters, they used to be very pleased with him, and they would ask him to eat with him, all the good foods that they had. So every time he would eat with them, because they would invite him to eat. And one time there was just one person who brought them a melon. He said, "Have this." And the owners didn't want it, the masters didn't want it because they were full. So they told Luqman that, "You haven't eaten, why don't you eat this? Why don't you eat this? You know, this is a gift that was brought to us. Eat it." So Luqman, he cut it up and started eating it. Started eating it, and every piece he ate, he would line that up. He ate that piece, he lined it up, you know. And they looked at him, and he was eating with so much pleasure. So they said, "Hey, you know what? Let me have a piece also." The master said, "You let me have a piece also. Give me some." So Luqman said, "All right, here, have some peace," you know. And the master ate the peace, and it was so sour, so rotten and sour, that his throat started hurting, and he spit it out. And Luqman, I mean, this is sour, and you're eating this. This is sour, you're eating this, you know, with so much pleasure. And why are you eating this? I mean, the way you're eating. And why are you lying up? He says, "Listen, when I ate it, I know it is sour. And I'm lining it up with all the other good things you have given me to eat. Putting those together, when you asked me to eat all those other things, I ate that also. Now you ask me to eat this, I ate. This also I do not want to be thankless to you and not appreciating to you, even though it's sour, but all the good things that you have done for me, I want to also give thanks to that by eating this." This is character. It's character. Remember, a person came to Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam. And asked the Imam, "What is character? You know, what is it mean to be great?" And the Imam asked him, "What do you think it means to be great?" So the man said, "Well, greatness in my view, or moral character in my view, is that if Allah gives you something, then you be thankful for it. If He doesn't give you something, then you be patient." It's a good thought. It is a good thought, you know, that when Allah gives you something, if someone, He gives you something, then you should appreciate it, thank Him. And if He doesn't give it to you, if Allah doesn't give you, if God doesn't give it to you, then you should be patient. So, now, obviously, the Imam replied to that. And really, look at the loftiness of this thought that he had given. But the Imam replied to that and said, so that's the idea of greatness you have. He said, yes. If Allah, He gives us something, we should be thankful. If Allah does not give us something, then we should be patient. He said that, well, if that is greatness, then every dog in Medina does that. Every dog in Medina does that. If you give a dog something, he will be thankful to you, very loyal to you. And if you don't give him something, he'll not bark at you. He will be patient. He'll not get angry at you. He'll be patient. Then the person who came to Imam said, Imam, now you tell me, what is greatness then? Obviously, what I said is what animals do. He said, you are a human being. You should be better than that. You're human. You should be better than that. He said, what should we do in order to be great? What is greatness? He says, listen, when Allah does not give you, you should be thankful to Him, knowing all the things that He has already given you. How much He has given you, and He's constantly giving you. Just the breathing, yes, your life that you have is being given by Him. Thank Him for all the things He has given you. Not that if He doesn't give you one thing, you're going to complain. And be patient on God. Are you going to be patient on Him? Oh, yes, Allah, I'm being patient with you, you know. That's not greatness. No, thank Him even if he does not give you, because He has already given you so much. And when He does give it to you, then give it out in His way. Then you will see that is greatness. Give it out in His way. My friends, Prophet and the Imams and Ahlul Bayt, they were the height of moral character. That's what we see. Every time we look at them and analyze their history, there's something more we learn. So that is inspiring us. Who was Rasulullah? Just in 1 minute, I want to just let you know, who was this Prophet Muhammad? Right? Salawat ala Muhammad. You know, there was this alim, very well-known alim. I can't remember right now either it's Ibn Arabi or Ibn Sina. One of these great alims, you know, who was... And you know these scholars who are there, they're very, very impressive. They have a lot of knowledge. He had a student, very close student that he had. And both the teacher and the student were lying down, you know, sleeping in a room. And the student was praising the teacher. He said, teacher, you are magnificent. You are amazing. Your knowledge, there's no bounds for it. You know what? After all the praises, he said, you know what? I think that you are a prophet. I think you are a messenger of Allah. I mean, no one else can have this much knowledge that you have. No one else, you know. Now, the teacher wasn't saying anything. He was just quiet, you know, obviously, you know, I mean. And this is his best student that's there, favorite student. He's in the room and they're sleeping together. And this is, and outside the weather is cold. And so the teacher asked the student, would you, you know, I'm thirsty, would you get me a glass of water? And it was very close to the morning prayer. So the student said, teacher, it's outside, it's cold. If you can wait about 15 more minutes, we're going to get up for Fajr anyway. We're going to get up, you know, inshallah, we will have some, you know, water. You know, I'll get you the water. The teacher didn't say anything, didn't complain, nothing. He said, all right. And after 15 minutes, they heard the azan. They heard the azan, the call for prayers. It's Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Now the teacher, he looked at the student. He says, listen, last night, all the words that you said in my praise, that I'm a prophet, let me tell you the difference between me and the Prophet. Me and the Prophet, right? Let me tell you the difference, right? And he said that, you are the best student that I have. You're my favorite student, the best student that I have. I ask you to get up and get me a glass of water and you are complaining, you're making excuse not to do it. This is the effect that I have on my favorite student, on my best student. This is my character and its effect on my best student. And that prophet that you're talking about, and it was 600 years before this incident, he says 600 years ago he came and he left. But even 600 years still he has gone. Since he has gone, his followers are getting up in the cold of the night and calling out to the people for prayers. This is the character of the prophet, that even today we are alive because of him. Today we are inspired because of him. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the understanding to be on his right path. Allah, we ask you to give us the ma'rifat and the understanding of Prophet Muhammad and the Ahlul Bayt. Allah, we ask you that you hasten the reappearance of our Imam to make us his helper when he comes. So Allah, we ask you that you bless this gathering we have here today, especially the bride and the groom. We ask you that you give them a life that is in your obedience and in your happiness. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.